Good to go. Well, welcome everybody. It's Melbourne City Council meeting number 22 on Tuesday the 30th of August 2022. Lots of twos tonight. It's 5:30 p.m. And we're really pleased to welcome councillors to our management team and staff and to members of the public attending in person and via video. Thank you very much. The City of Melbourne respectfully acknowledges the traditional owners of the land on which we govern, the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people, the Bunurong Boonwurrung peoples, and we pay our respects to their elders past and present. We also acknowledge and honour the unbroken spiritual, cultural and political connection the Wurundjeri, the Bunurong, the Dja-Dja-Wurrung, the Tungurung and the Wadawurrung peoples have with this unique place and have had for more than 2,000 generations. We are committed to our reconciliation journey because at its heart, reconciliation is about strengthening relationships between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples, and we believe this has benefits for all Victorians. The meeting this evening, as I said earlier, is being streamed live, and the audio and video recording will be published on our council website by close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will be made available on our website as soon as practicable. Can we all please check our mobile phones and make sure they're on silent or they are turned off for the duration of the meeting? That would be most appreciated. Thank you. The agenda this evening comprises seven reports from management, one of which is confidential. But I note that item 6.1 has been withdrawn at the request of management, and I ask the CEO please to give us an update on that item. Thanks.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Look, I've reviewed the submissions received today regarding item 6.1, the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show proposed new licence for 24 to 29. In one of the submissions, it was indicated that I'd made a commitment to the Friends of Royal Exhibition in Carlton Gardens in April 2019 in some correspondence to them regarding their engagement in the process for the awarding of the new licence. In looking into this matter further, it's now clear that the engagement meeting prior to council making any future decision hasn't been undertaken, and it should. As such, and for procedural fairness, I'm withdrawing the matter from the meeting tonight. Representatives from management will meet in the coming few weeks with the Friends of the Royal Exhibition in Carlton Gardens, and this matter will be considered at the September 22 meeting. Thanks, Lord Mayor.
Thank you, CEO. Well, this brings us to item two, disclosure of conflicts of interest. Councillors, please note that if you have a general or material conflict of interest as defined in the Local Government Act 2020, in relation to a matter to be considered this evening, can you please disclose the type and nature of your interest prior to consideration of that item? Number three, confirmation of minutes of previous meetings. I'm calling on Councillor Leppert.
Thank you. I'll move an alternative motion to the one that's assumed by convention, and it's on the screen. This just corrects a very minor error in the 12th of July meeting minutes. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thank you very much, Councillor Leppert, and also for noting the need to change. That is appreciated. I'm looking for a councillor to second that motion. Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you. I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour as amended, and you can see it there on the screen. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you. Are there any matters arising from those minutes that councillors would like to discuss at this point? No, thank you. Then I note that the following submission has been received in relation to agenda item 6.4 this evening, the proposed discontinuance and sale of Gough Alley, Melbourne, and that item of correspondence is from Chris Thrum. Thank you, Chris. That moves us on to asking about the status of confidential items. Councillors, do any of you wish to discuss the confidential status of the item listed in the public agenda this evening? No, thank you. There are no reports from committee for consideration this evening. There are now six reports from management. And the first one of those is 6.2, Invest Melbourne Update and Appointment Recommendations for the Advisory Board. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No. Then I'm looking for a councillor to move the motion that has been updated, so the motion that is on the screen.
Well, Mayor, I need to clear a general conflict of interest on this item.
Thank you, Councillor Louis. Noted.
Lord Mayor, I also need to declare a conflict in relation to this item due to one of the members being appointed being a colleague of mine at the University of Melbourne.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Noted. Good. I'm calling on a councillor to move that motion. Councillor Campbell, thank you. And a councillor to second this motion. Councillor Hakim, thank you. Over to you, Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Great ideas come to life in Melbourne. We are a city filled with the most talented people in the world. And we have a track record of creating, making, and exporting successful businesses and products. When it comes to what people know about Australia, from Vegemite to Foster's, from Test cricket to Aussie rules, they all have their birthplace in Melbourne. We are the home to this nation's finest exports, but we want to be the birthplace to the next generation of great ideas, products and businesses. That's why we at the City of Melbourne are working to make this city the easiest place in the world to start and grow a business. We've established Invest Melbourne to ensure we do just that. We've got a pipeline of investment projects. We've developed our strategy for investment attraction. And I want to thank Peter Armstrong for his incredible work in this space. And now we know we need strategic advice and independent thinking from industry leaders to champion Invest Melbourne to Australia and the world, and to ensure that we do all we can here at the City of Melbourne to make this city the easiest place in the world to do business. We put out an expression of interest for applicants to our advisory board, and I want to thank everyone who took the time to submit an application. We are so fortunate to have the benefit of industry leaders who put up their hand to serve this city. And although we are looking to approve 8 external appointees tonight, I hope that we continue to work with all who applied. The 8 recommended candidates bring experience from current or potential future investment sectors like life sciences, digital innovation and clean energy. And if this motion passes, I look forward to their frank and fearless advice. And I thank them in advance for so generously giving their time to this city. I commend the motion to you.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Councillor Hakim.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Campbell, for moving the motion. Thanks to Peter and the team for your work in bringing to life our what we want to do with Invest Melbourne, something that is really, really critical as we look to the future for what we want to see happen here in Melbourne. To all those who submitted, I also want to echo Councillor Campbell's words to thank you for taking part in our EOI. We had so many amazing people with such a calibre of talent, and it really showcases the talent that we have here in Melbourne apply to take part in this advisory board. We've come down to 8 who are being proposed to be appointed to this advisory board. There is a wealth of knowledge that has taken part of that, and we really want to thank you wholeheartedly from us and hope that we can continue to interact and have you involved in some way, shape or form with us at the City of Melbourne, and to take part in your continue to contribute to making it a fantastic place to invest. Why this is important is because we need to ensure that there is an environment and an ecosystem that supports investment in Melbourne, particularly in emerging areas that we've selected as part of Investment Melbourne. This is about securing jobs for the future for Melburnians and Victorians, and ensuring that we continue to provide the best parts of the economy into the future, things like life sciences, in the technology and digital innovation space, and importantly, in the clean energy sector. We want to be leading the way. As an addition to this motion, we've just, in line with the approved terms of references that were adopted earlier in the year, we've also indicated the two councillor involvement here in this advisory board, which is our leads for the respected portfolios. We'll be taking up positions as part of this advisory board. So Councillor Rashina Campbell and Councillor Kevin Louis, thank you for taking up those positions in addition to your existing positions. Really, really important part. Melbourne is truly a city of possibilities, and we are making it even easier to live here, to study here, to experience all that Melbourne has right here, and to do business here. I commend this motion to you, councillors.
Thank you, Councillor Hakim. Are there any other speakers to this motion this evening? No, I'll just say on behalf of everybody, thank you for nominating, but thanks in advance for all of the hard work ahead for both our industry candidates joining the Invest Melbourne board and our councillor candidates, and best of more than luck in supporting the work of Peter and the team here at the City of Melbourne. It's a very exciting initiative, and I'm really happy to be supporting it this evening. I put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Although that's unanimous. So I declare the motion carried. Thank you, and we can invite our councillors back in, Councillor Louis and Deputy Lord Mayor, into the meeting. Thank you. Well, this brings us to item 6.3, which is Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Program Quarterly Report. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No. Thank you. Then I'm going to move this motion, and I'm looking for a councillor to second this motion. Thank you, Councillor Campbell. I'm really pleased to move this motion this evening, the Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Program. It is the quarterly report. It is always good to see ongoing and continued progress on this landmark Queen Victoria Precinct Renewal Program. In the past couple of months, we've certainly hit some key milestones, and the biggest step forward for me has been the reopening of Sheds A and B, looking magnificent with the rejuvenation of the heritage, but incorporating many modern elements to make the experience as a trader and a customer far more comfortable and enhanced, and really pleased to see that done. It does mean that traders will have access to modern things like lighting, water and power. Amazing. And we know that this has been a painstaking process to ensure that the heritage is preserved, and we welcome that as a key element of the biggest open air market in the Southern Hemisphere, something that attracts a lot of people. We say thank you to the QVM team, both on management and renewal, for continuing to work in and around these works, and to the QVM management team, well done on securing 7 fantastic new hospitality tenants as part of the Munro site as well. We're really seeing the renewal program not just delivered but activated and coming to life, and that's something that is welcomed by everybody. I'm really pleased to move this motion. Over to you, Councillor Campbell. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I think that it's important to acknowledge all of the milestones that have been made in relation to this project One of the which I'm particularly excited about is the 7 hospitality venues that have been secured for the Munro development. I think it paints the picture of what a vibrant and exciting part of the city this is, with tenants like St. Ali, another Market Lane, its 3rd cafe, and Moonfish coming over from Albert Park. It's going to make this the dining precinct to visit. However, I think this item also speaks to the ongoing issues in our construction industry, including those faced by this project. And I'm delighted to see the steps that will be taken to make sure that those impacts and delays are minimised going forward, including working to ensure the procurement approach is expanded to include specialist advice to improve supply chain management, because we all want at the City of Melbourne to make sure this project is delivered on time. And although many things here are outside of our control, we know that we can do more to make sure that that occurs. So I'm very pleased to see there is a way forward to ensure that happens. I'm very happy to second this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Are there any other speakers to this motion? None? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare the motion carried. Thanks, councillors. It brings us to item 6.4, proposed discontinuance and sale of Gough Alley, Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on this item, or is there a question to be asked, Deputy Lord Mayor?
Yeah, thanks, Lord Mayor. I had a question for management just regarding the discontinuance of Gough Alley. We have received some correspondence from Chris Thrum and had representations from others who have expressed regret about the discontinuance of this laneway. So I'm interested if management could update us as to why they believe the overall changes to this block, including what's proposed with Gough Alley, as well as Manton Laneway, represent an improved outcome for this precinct. So I look to you, Justin Hennie, to suggest who should respond on this.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Roger Teal's prepared a response, and I think also has a slide on screen that might help this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. And actually, I'd like to invite Mel Odendale, who's Director of City Property, to give a response. Thank you.
Thanks, Roger, and thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor, for the question. I think if we can get the slides up, it will be quite helpful. Thank you. So I'll just quickly take you through, what we're requesting tonight is consideration of whether or not the road is reasonably required for public use now and into the future. So I'll just take you through the reasons why officers believe that it is not. So on this first slide here on the right-hand side, you can see Gough Alley there. It comes off King Street and doglegs around behind the building. So each of the sites that abut Gough Alley there are actually part of an overall development that's a ministerial planning permit that's already been issued. So there are no properties left for Gough Alley to service should that development continue. If we just go over to the next slide, thank you. You can see here the development outcome on the left-hand side, and then on the right-hand side, Gough Alley obviously disappears in this outcome. And where you can see the image on the right-hand side, there's the purple square in the bottom right-hand corner. That white space that runs from the north to the south of that development, that's actually the continuation of Manton Lane. So it removes a dead-end laneway from Gough Alley and then also gives good pedestrian and vehicular access across Manton Lane and removes the need for that little 1.5-metre strip that can really only allow pedestrians through, which is not a great safety outcome. So we believe that from an amenity perspective, it's a much better outcome. And also we have sought some advice from our Creative City colleagues who have commented that Gough Alley is not held up as an indicative example of Melbourne street art culture as a site of cultural significance. It's also been assessed for projects such as Flash Forward, and it doesn't actually meet the requirements of Flash Forward because it doesn't allow for project outcomes are negligible in terms of vantage points and being able to project onto walls because those walls don't actually exist anymore. So from an existing outcome, not great, but provides really great amenity outcomes if we were to go ahead with this.
Thanks, Mel, and through you, Lord Mayor, that's a great response. When I was investigating this matter earlier today, I also saw an architectural drawing that just shows the link through Manthanelli. I don't know if you've got that on you at the moment, if you're able to share that with us.
Yeah, if we go to the next slide, yes, I believe
we have that.
We haven't put the fly through of the laneway on there, but you can see on the right hand side down on that bottom image, where that sort of beigey coloured car is just to the left of that. That's the opening for
where the
laneway for Manton.
Okay, yep. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. No other questions? No? Good. Thank you. Well, I am calling on a councillor to move this motion. Councillor Leleu, thank you, and I'm calling on a councillor to second this motion. Deputy Lord Mayor, back to you, Councillor Leleu.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I think there's not much really to add. Mel's already kind of really covered a lot of that. I think any time when we lose a particular laneway, there'll always be particular interest, but I think in terms of the weighing it up and the balance, this is probably a right approach to take, and that area is a particular... it will be great for redevelopment, and this will help with that particular area. And looking forward to working with the applicants and how we can actually turn that side of the area into a more lively activation place.
Thank you. And Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor, and I'm very happy to speak in support of this motion. I think I'm on the record of being a major fan of protecting and preserving Melbourne's laneways. In fact, I was very pleased recently with Councillor Leppard to release a practice note which detailed all the new protections which have been rolled out in this term to protect Melbourne's heritage laneways. We know what a key part of Melbourne's identity and attractiveness is. And so for Chris Thrum and others who have made inquiries about this motion before us this evening, we can absolutely assure them that we have very thoroughly stress test this development. Firstly, when it became before FMC back in 2021, and now again as we go through the process of the transaction. Selling the laneway will allow the approved development to begin construction, and it will also allow for, as part of that development, the creation of a new Manton Lane through block link that will run all the way from Lonsdale through Lonsdale Street through to Little Lonsdale Street. At the moment with Gough Alley, it effectively services one property owner with the consolidation of the property, whereas the new Manton Lane through block link will be a fantastic new pedestrian link for people in this part of the city, and I think will be a vibrant part of our laneway network. Contrast that to Gough Alley, which, as we heard from Mel, is really considered a low-value, low-grade laneway in our city. So happy to vote for this evening, looking forward to this development proceeding and looking forward to this street corner on King Street and Lonsdale Street, probably the sleaziest cross-section, probably the sleaziest intersection in Melbourne in recent decades, being revitalised as one of our most vibrant and inviting.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Are there any other speakers to this motion? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. Item 6.4, all those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous. So we declare that motion carried. It brings us to item 6.5, quarterly performance reporting, council plan, major initiatives, finances and capital program. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No, then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion. Thank you, Councillor Leleu, and a councillor to second the motion. Deputy Lord Mayor, back to you, Councillor Leleu.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And the purpose of this report is to report to the community the performance of the council at the end of the fourth quarter of the financial year. This is to set out as part of the Section 97.1 of the Act that we as a council and the CEO needs to provide a quarterly report and it's open to the public. The report must include a comparison of the actual budget resulted to date, an explanation of any material variation and any other prescribed by regulation under the Act. The preliminary results from the ordinary activities for the financial year ended 30th June 2020 is an underlying net deficit of $45.1 million, $18.1 million unfavourable versus the budget. This unfavourable variance is mostly driven by COVID and lockdown 6.0 restrictions, which impacted the reduced parking revenue, $27.9 million deficit, which has been partially offset by lower administrative expenditure of $3.1 million, lower consultancy expenses, $2 million, and lower PINS provision associated with lower parking revenue. The overall COVID impact has been estimated to be a reduction of $51.6 million in revenue compared to what is would be a normal business environment. I encourage everyone to have a look at the progress. And even though we have a lot of greens on there, we are always focused on the things that will keep us up at night. So it will be a good read. In terms of the financial performance budget, we are in the fourth quarter, and the preliminary results from ordinary results, excluding gains on disposals of asset and investments from the financial year ending 30th June 2020, is an underlying net deficit of $45.1 million versus a budget deficit of $27 million. And that's mostly unfavorable variance of $18.1 million is driven by COVID lockdown, as I said. Which has restricted parking revenue of $27.9 million and which has also been partially offset by low administrative expenditure, consultancy and PINS provision, which I just mentioned. In addition to the underlying deficit, in accordance with accounting standards, the council is also required to reflect the comprehensive result in the annual report. And the comprehensive result for council in 2021 to 2022 is a surplus of $185.6 million, which is $38.8 million surplus in 2020 to 2021, and includes a revaluation asset increment of $200.7 million. It's a gain and on disposal of asset $2.2 million, fair value adjustment of investments of property of $52.5 million, and capital contribution revenue of $22.6 million in the current year. And finally, just going into the balance sheet. You know, the decrease, we have a decrease in cash and cash equivalent, which is due to a combination of lower statutory fines, user fees, and higher operating outflows. And we have an increase in property, plant, and equipment investment property of $286.1 million, which is mostly driven by capital work spend of $128.7 million, plus the purchase of Munro Community Hub, and valuation adjustment that was dominated by increase in land freehold of $179.5 million. So this was partially offset by depreciation expense for the year of $78.1 million. So a lot of numbers, overall comprehensive. And I just want to also say thank you to the team, to Mark Tanache, our CFO, to Justin, our CEO, and the ever hardworking officers of the City of Melbourne. Of what is a very, very difficult environment and financial year, but know assured that we are on top of everything and we would be doing our best to bring Melbourne back. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Councillor Leleu. Deputy Lord Mayor, over to you.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Can I begin by saying, just like Councillor Leleu, I always look forward to and enjoy the release of our quarterly reports. They do indeed provide a detailed snapshot of everything that's happening across the City of Melbourne, from detail about our major initiatives, our state of our finances, and of course our capital works program, and what this quarterly report
does do is really detail the extraordinary breadth and level of activity that is happening across the municipality at the moment. A couple of key highlights I think that deserve being called out in this quarterly report. The first of those is that we've completed construction on the new Enterprise Park, which is a real milestone in the early stages of our Green Line project. We've also launched phase one of our Aboriginal Melbourne digital map, which is a remarkable tool to visualise the enduring connection to country held by the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung and Bunurong peoples of the Eastern Kulin Nation. We've published our first voluntary local review of progress against the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, which is something that I've had some involvement with and really pleased and proud to see that us get that milestone up with that first review completed. And then finally, of course, we've got detail here of some progress on major capital works projects from the Queen Victoria Market to the new dog park under the Kingsway Undercroft in Southbank. As Councillor Leilu has said, our capital works projects have faced some challenges in recent times, as everybody in the construction industry is experiencing. This means that several projects have been delayed or have had to be have their funding rephased. And so what we see through that list that Councillor Leilu has taken us through is the detail around those changes. But make no mistake, the city is still cracking on at a record rate in delivering that record infrastructure budget. Very happy to commend this quarterly report to you all tonight, and just let all residents, businesses and folks tuning in tonight that we are very much getting on with things here at the City of Melbourne.
Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. Are there any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Leppett.
Thanks, Lord Mayor, and I want to thank the mover and seconder for chaperoning this through portfolio and their leadership in the space, but also our officers for continuing to track progress across all of our major initiatives, but also finances in a really challenging time. And so I echo the words of the mover and seconder in recognising that not only are there challenges, especially in the construction space, but that we have looked very, very closely at how to manage and rephase those works whilst trying to keep a lid on costs despite the increase in prices of goods and labour. It is a top concern for all of us, but I acknowledge the work of our CapWorks team in leading the charge there. CapWorks renewal and maintenance, we've basically spent what we said we would in the budget. But in my 10 years, obviously, this is the largest non-delivery of new and upgrade capital works. And so I've taken a very close interest in what other councils are reporting for their quarter four and end of financial year reports. I think CEO pointed out that entire states are posting similar sorts of underspends in terms of proportion of overall all budget. And so we're certainly not alone here, but it's incumbent on all governments, no matter where they are, and all entities that construct to try and manage the situation that we're in. As I said, most of the reasons for those cost blowouts is trying to find and pay for within budget that labour as well as the goods. Some of the issues here that have been carried forward to the future financial years aren't there only because of those issues of labour and goods. Some issues are there because the state government approvals haven't come through. We sat in this chamber a couple of months ago and promised that we'd crack on with the delivery of our transport strategy and trial bike lanes, and we'd get Arden and Macaulay done by about August. That hasn't happened because we still haven't got those Department of Transport approvals. That is utterly regrettable. There's a specific clause in the resolution here that talks about the more than $3 million worth of delivery from last financial year on the cycle lane projects that will now be carried forward to 22-23. I really hope that that restructure and the growing pains in DOT can be resolved quickly, and we can crack on with those issues that are being delayed, not because of the cost of labour, not because of the cost of goods, but because of hold-ups in approvals in the Department of Transport. We budgeted $30 million for carry forward, and it looks like there's just under $35 million worth here. I'm assured that we can balance the ledger when we get to our quarter one report for the next financial year. There's an awful lot of stuff going on here, and we have got our eye on every single project. And again, I just close by thanking our team for helping us manage what is a difficult financial environment. But as a mover and seconder said, we're hell-bent on delivering the agenda that we've set, and it will happen. Thanks, Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Leppett. Are there any other speakers to this motion? I also wanted to state my support for this motion and acknowledge and thank Justin and the team for the ongoing additions, expansion, and I think improvements to information and transparency that we're seeing in these quarterly reports as they become available to the public, so that people can really understand the extent of the work that's underway, the progress against Council Plan, and build confidence that we can deliver on that Council Plan during this Council term. I think those conversations are really important to be had between Council and our constituents and stakeholders, and this report sets us up well for more detailed and engaged discussions with our community, and that's always to be welcomed. So thank you to our councillors for their involvement in the projects and initiatives themselves, but also interest in how we can continually improve our reporting and provision of information and transparency to the public. Thank you, and I'm really pleased to support this quarterly report. I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you. It brings us to item 6.6, which is governance rules minor amendment. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No? Then I am calling on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Lelou, thank you, and the councillor, a councillor to second the motion.
Happy to second the motion on the screen. Yep,
yep, thanks, thank you. For clarifying, Councillor Leppett is seconding the motion, and I go back to you, Councillor Lelou, as mover of this motion as it appears on the screen. Thank you.
Thank you. Not much to add. I just want to thank the team for the governance team for, I guess, updating the rules or adapting what is from the state government's Local Government Act. I just want to recognise the work Councillor Leppett for his suggestions, and it'll be great, as I mentioned, if this is something that we've adopted from the state governments and the government and the Local Government Act. It would be great that whatever we have actually changed or have improved upon be passed on to state government or other councils, so that they also, who I'm sure will be also going through the same process and needs to be, can also update their governance rules. But it's a very minor governance rule update, and I want to thank Councillor Leppett for all his work on this.
Thanks, Councillor Lou. To you, Councillor Leppett.
Thanks, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Lou, for your kind words, but also your chaperoning of this portfolio. It was a very minor issue, and now I've taken a really minor issue inside that minor issue, but I'll quickly explain what it is. Proposed Clause 60.8 says that all councillors who are attending remotely need to see staff that are presenting to a meeting. Proposed Clause 60.9 suggests that if the terms in 60.8 aren't met, the councillor is deemed to not be present. I think that's an unintended consequence of what we were trying to get to. So the amendment here is just to remove the requirement that councillors can see staff, just because we don't want to invalidate the proceedings of the meeting. That's not to say that all efforts will be made to ensure that councillors who are attending remotely have full access to the information that's being relayed at a meeting. So that's the purpose of the minor tweak here. Overall, though, and I'm not sure if it came straight from LGV or maybe from Maddox, but if I have stumbled across a sector-wide problem, I'll be delighted. I doubt it, though, but thanks for pointing that out, Councillor Liu. Thank you to the team for suggesting these minor changes. I hope they can go through without any fanfare, unlike all of our neighbours. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Leppett. Are there any other speakers to this motion? Governance rules, minor amendment. Then I put this motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you, councillors. This moves us to item 6.7 on the agenda, councillor portfolios. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No, thank you. Then I'm going to move this motion. I'm looking for a seconder to the motion. Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you. I'm really pleased to move this motion this evening. I'm thanking Councillor Roshana Campbell for acting so diligently as Deputy Lead of the City Transport Infrastructure and Operations Portfolio since the start of this term in November 2020. Your focus on positive outcomes for our community is reflected in the work that you've done in this portfolio. Thank you very much. I note also Councillor Campbell's stated views that are contrary to the transport strategy and council policy as it relates to some aspects of transport. And I note that once a council strategy has been endorsed, then the focus moves to good governance and communication of that strategy, and that's why we're considering this item this evening. I know and I welcome Councillor Campbell's continued interest in our transport strategy and initiatives going forward, I'm also welcoming Councillor David Griffith's leadership in accepting the role as Deputy Lead of this portfolio. I welcome in advance your contribution and I'm pleased to be moving this motion this evening. Thank you. Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Other speakers to this motion? Councillor Campbell, thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. It has been put to me that it would be difficult for me to continue as deputy in the transport portfolio given my significant concerns about the bike lane rollout. I've made those views clear in this chamber, in particular my opposition to the anti-car measures in Council's transport policy and our failure to fix issues with existing bike lanes. City traders tell me every day the bike lane rollout has deterred customers. City workers and visitors tell me they have made it harder to come to the city. I am required to respect Council's decision to roll out bike lanes, but given my views, I will no longer serve as deputy in this portfolio.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Griffiths.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Thank you for your words, and I'd like to echo your words about Councillor Campbell's dedication and diligence in this portfolio during the term so far. You've set a very high bar, Councillor Campbell, and I can but hope to reach it. I'm really excited, hoping that this motion passes, to be taking on this role and working across the broad suite of issues that this portfolio encompasses. Very much looking forward to getting my hands on all of that and thanking in advance management and officers for the large amount of work that they're going to be needing to undertake to bring me up to the same level of speed that the Lord Mayor and Councillor Campbell have been on around these wide portfolio issues. So thank you in advance for the work to come on that front.
Thank you, Councillor Griffiths. Any other speakers? Councillor Liu.
Just wanted to echo as well my thanks to Councillor Campbell and the portfolios that she has done, but also congratulate Councillor Griffiths in your first deputy portfolio. And also I note that the work that you're doing in terms of in council of being on the Audit and Risk Committee, now also of deputy of what is a very major portfolio. It's great to see you're leaning in and really putting the effort to it. And it just shows what a great dynamic team that this council has in terms of talent and calibre, and looking forward to, again, like I said, we've got a massive budget to deliver in a very difficult environment, and it's all hands on deck. So looking forward to working with everyone on this.
Thanks so much, Councillor Leloux. Any other speakers to this motion? Then I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour of this motion, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you. Well, this concludes reports from management to be considered in open session. There are no items of general business for consideration in this session. I'm asking councillors, are there any items of urgent business for consideration in open session? Thank you, no. So I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion displayed on the screen now, which will close the meeting to the public so that we can consider the item of confidential. Thanks, Councillor Hakim, and Councillor Doidge is seconding that. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thanks so much to members of the public for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. And we're declaring the open meeting closed at 6:15 p.m. Thank you.